You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc. And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And today we're rounding out our basics that we're talking about when it comes to dealing with pans, pandas, and how it impacts our lives with a little conversation on detoxification and environmental impacts. We've touched on some aspects of this in earlier episodes. So in episode 21, we talked about mold. In episode 22, we talked about allergies. And 23, we talked about methylation and genetic SNPs. 24, we talked about teeth and dental stuff, which has a little bit of an impact on the environmental side. Today, we're really going to talk more mostly about like things related to like environmental toxicants, talking about things like solvents and chemicals that are used in our environment, heavy metals, things like that. And we are going to touch a little bit on how homeopathy ultimately plays a role in this. So I'm going to take the lead here, and then Jody's going to fill in some of the parents' experience where she has it. So ultimately, with pans and pandas, the kids are just sensitive to things in their environment, to their surroundings, right? And so when we talk about heavy metals, we talk about solvents, we talk about the various different chemicals that are used in our world today, you know, better living through chemistry. They're not great for any of us. They're just really not great for kids with pans or pandas and for other people who have other complex illness. It just makes them just really more sensitive. One of the ways to really think about this is that, you know, we have a cup of what we can actually withstand and take in and our body can handle when it comes to toxins and things that are just that our body has to bind and remove. So like, you know, toxin is like, I hate, Jody, I'm going to honestly say, I hate using the word toxin. Like I cringe every time I see it. I don't know if you can, for people who are listening just on audio, if you can hear the cringe in my voice, because I'm just like so much talk about toxin, toxin, toxins, toxic, toxic, toxic. And I think it's overdone. And I'm sidestepping here a little bit, because the reality is, yes, we have different toxins than we had 100 years ago, 200 years ago, whatever. And they come into our bodies in different ways, but it's not like 100 years ago was this like pristine, untoxic world. I mean, there wasn't sanitation was not there. So like people were getting sick from just going out in their streets. People with, you know, like dumping bedpans into the streets and just like, you know, poop everywhere, coal being burned everywhere, like just dirty, not good sanitation. It was not a non-toxic place. So it's not like today is more toxic than 100 years ago, 50 years ago. It's toxic in a different way, right? And so the good news is that our bodies have all of these mechanisms that we can use to safely bind and remove or sequester toxins so that they don't affect us. In our daily lives, and so they can keep us healthy. When we have our cup that we have of our body is starting to get more and more full and has more and more things going on, we start to see things like it spills over, right? The more that gets added into it, the more it's going to start to spill over because our cup is only so big, right? And so when we're sick or we're highly sensitive, it's like our cup is smaller than if we're really, really healthy and really robust. We've got a bigger cup. We can take more in and before we can move things out. When we're not doing as well, when our body is already challenged, it's like we have a smaller cup. And so that is what really it comes into play with kids with pans and pandas when they are dealing with environmental exposures and exposures to like toxins and heavy metals. So just to, like I said, it's not good for any of us. It's just for people who have complex chronic illness and higher sensitivities, it's harder on them. So your kiddos are probably going to be the ones that are going to be letting you know something in the environment isn't really great for you. Just like Jody, what we talked about in the episode that we talked about mold, your kiddos were the ones that could tell you that there was mold in the environment until they healed and got better. And then you were the one who could tell that there was mold. So whoever's the most sensitive is the one that's going to be sort of like the canary for it. Is there anything that you need to add to what I just said before I just keep going and rambling and doing my whole doctory thing and like,
no, do your doctory thing. No, you're good.
Okay. So what we'll see a lot of people do is try to use forceful detox protocols, that they're going to use herbs and nutrients to try and bring things out, and medications in some cases to try and pull toxins out, and then use binders to like help eliminate them. And so we see some challenges with this, with these kiddos, when they try to actually do some environmental work, because we're taking things that are safely sequestered in our fat, in our bone, in, you know, whatever place they happen to be. Those are the two primary places that toxins get stored, fat and bone. But we're pulling them out where they're safely sequestered and not circulating in the bloodstream. And we're putting them into the bloodstream with a kid who's got a leaky brain, and, you know, that's got a you know, impacts on the blood-brain barrier. And so we start to see a lot of people feeling a lot worse when they start to do detox. And yes, the binders are supposed to help reduce the impacts of that, but binders are not like 100%. They're not going to catch everything. And so we see a lot of people oftentimes feel worse when we do these really forceful detoxes. I know one thing that you're probably dying to talk about, Jody, is that homeopathy can actually help with the detox of detox systems in our body, so that they're working appropriately without doing the really forceful detox that we'll see when we're trying to pull things out and actively use the binders and everything. And so we can see that people can even have reduced values on labs that are showing toxicity, or, you know, they have a high body burden of various different solvents or heavy metals. We can see those improve using homeopathy without using all the really big forceful things. And people oftentimes really feel a whole lot better. I know that you had an experience with your daughter having at least one elevated heavy metal in her body.
Yeah. And we got introduced to that whenever we went down the functional medicine route of things, and we did all the testing, and Avery's arsenic levels came back elevated, and I was just floored, like trying to figure out where in her environment she was getting arsenic. And it was explained to me, just, you know, with having MTHFR, that her body just wasn't detoxing it properly. And so, just like you said earlier, we went about trying to do the detoxing, and we were giving her things to force detox, and her body just responded so poorly to everything that we tried. It was just big, like overreactions, or her getting really sick, or just all different kinds of things that were worse than what we were already experiencing. And I love that. I could talk all day long about the MTHFR part of this. I know that's not specifically what we're talking about here. But the neat thing to me is that the arsenic is not what really mattered. It was the fact that something was not functioning properly in her body. And so instead of me like scouring the universe to figure out where the arsenic was coming from, or stop feeding her foods that contain arsenic, or I couldn't escape those things, right? Arsenic is in our environment, period. She's going to get it from water. She's going to get it from food. Obviously I can limit it, but I don't want to like take all of those things away from her. So the fact that homeopathy was able to take and reverse and really change how her methyl cycle is functioning, and making it a, you know, very well functioning. And now her, you know, her body's able to do all of that on its own. Go ahead.
So it is important though, when we can find something, you know, like arsenic is one that's hard, because like you said, it's in our water, it's in chicken, it's in rice, it's in our food supply. It's something that's just in the ground. And so, there's certain things that we're going to have exposure to, just because we're living. And so if you've got a really high level, like if you've got high lead levels, you got to figure out where the lead's coming from, right? And remove that. If you've got high mercury, you want to try and figure out if there's something that you can do to reduce it. And it depends on the value that you've got. And ultimately, if you've got really, really high values, it's great to work with both a homeopath to help your body stimulate healing and have the effective detox mechanisms working internally, as well as somebody who has really got expertise in environmental medicine. And I will put a link in the show notes to a couple of organizations that you can find a really well-trained provider when it comes to environmental medicine. If you've got very high levels of multiple different heavy like toxic metals or things like that. Same thing goes with like the chemicals in your environment. Like you didn't really have to worry about this as much. So you might not be able to speak to it as broadly as somebody who didn't already have the experience of putting like getting like, you know, quote unquote safe cleaners in their home. But just little things like how you, what you use to clean your home can make a difference because there's solvents and things. So like, instead of using bleach, using vinegar, putting, you know, using muscle to get through things instead of chemicals that are meant to make it so that you could just like spray it on, leave it for a few minutes and then wipe it away. Like it's nothing, like just using some elbow grease, making it part of your workout, to get some of the cleaning done. Thinking about where you're living too, and what you're using on like your lawn, what's going around your, environment, you know, people who live on, near farms, depending on like the type of thing that's being farmed, and the way that they're doing their farming. If you're near farms, you have a higher exposure to toxic chemicals and or the organophosphopesticides. You've got not just out like in the country, but like in golf courses. Golf courses are one of the most toxic places with all of the chemicals that go into like keeping the greens perfect and pristine and all of that. And even things like your laundry, you know, like not great to use laundry, like the dryer sheets. Those have tons and tons of chemicals. Just even limiting perfumes. Perfumes can really, and fragrances, artificial fragrances can really disrupt your endocrine system, which obviously plays a role. There's an overlap in the way things work with the endocrine system and the immune system, especially when it comes to like inflammation and stress. So that can play a role as well.
Yeah. And can I say real quick too, that, you know, when we came into this whole mast cell world with my younger daughter in 2012, having to get rid of all of the chemicals in our house, that was a really hard thing to do. But I love so much that there has been like this movement towards us understanding better what these things, what these chemicals can do to our bodies, especially our children's bodies, in the years and years and years of exposure. The things that we've put on our kids' skin, the things, you know, I used to be an avid candle, Bath and Body Works, like all of the fragrances. And I love that there is education out there now on, and don't get me wrong, I still love something that smells good on occasion. But removing those things is so much easier now because there's so many, like back whenever we were removing things, there was not a lot of all natural products, but now there's tons of products that can help us with the cleaning, help us with our hair, our skin, our all the things without all of the chemicals that are actually good products. So I love that it's easier for us to do that now.
Yeah. So don't get overwhelmed though. Everybody's going to have their own cup. Their cups are going to be different sizes. Homeopathy can help so that if there's leaks in your cup, that you can fill those leaks in. In some ways, it can actually make your tolerance in your cup bigger because of improving the way your detoxification systems are working. So don't borrow trouble is one of my favorite things to say. And so do what you can to get your home as environmentally friendly as possible. But don't lose your mind over anything, because if you really start to think about it, like do what you can in your home. And if you can only do a little bit, the most important thing you could do in your home is making sure that your sleeping space is safe. Like if you have limitations on what you can do, having a safe sleeping space, because that's where you spend so much, you know, the most of your time when you're in your home is going to be asleep in your bed. And so making sure that that is a place that you can have good recovery, because that's also where a lot of healing happens, right? And we've got like the glymphatic system in our brain is only active when we're sleeping. And so it's important that we are not detoxifying ourselves while we're also trying to detoxify ourselves, right? So that's really the most that I think I really want to share without overwhelming people too much, is that yes, environmental impacts take a toll on kids with PANS and PANDAS, including things like the solvents, the pesticides, the chemicals used in cleaning, and the heavy metals. That's what I was looking for. Do what you can. Don't feel like you have to live in a bubble. It can easily go to that place, right, Jody? Like especially after we had the pandemic, when things started to reopen up, it was really clear that these kiddos were reacting to all of the solvents in the cleaning products that were used for like the hyper cleaning. There was a lot more cleaning happening. You do what you can, and without it having as much as like a terrible disruption in your life, and you use homeopathy, and use your individually recommended remedy based off of your way of your experiencing things. Cause I mean, I guess that's something I didn't touch on, is that even though like these toxins can all impact us, the way they impact us is still part of our susceptibility. So we're not all going to have the exact same symptoms if we have mercury toxicity, or if we are having too much pesticides in our life. They're going to have very different ways that we impact us that are related to our susceptibility. And so it's still going to be an individualized homeopathic remedy that's going to be most effective. It's not like there's this remedy for mercury toxicity, and there's this for pesticides, and there's this for cleaners, and there's this for arsenic or whatever. And so using an individually recommended homeopathic remedy, doing what you can in your home, having a safe sleep space is probably going to be enough. And then using homeopathy, you'll find that you're less sensitive to the things in your surroundings, less impacted by them. So that at some point you don't have to worry about flares or persistent flares because of those things. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add, Jody?
I was thinking that's the best part right there, because it's been just wild to watch this, this part right here, how much homeopathy has impacted it. And especially like in my younger daughter, who literally could not leave our house. She could not go into a grocery store, any store, a restaurant, anything. And just kind of watching homeopathy heal her body and get it to where she can live a normal life, and she can walk into a store and she can tolerate things that everyone has to be around on occasion just to live life. So it's been wild to watch homeopathy help both her and Avery through this particular sensitivity that they had.
Yeah. We talk a lot about this type of thing in our Facebook group. So if you are somebody who has thought that you were going to have to use these really intensive protocols for detoxification, and want to know all about how people are navigating without using these intense protocols and tons of binders and all of the things that can come along with that, join us in our Facebook group. There'll be a link in the show notes as always. And then next week, we are going to talk to you about PANS and medical procedures and the impacts that can have on overall functioning for these kiddos with PANS. So we hope to see you guys there. Take care.
Nice.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and Pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care, and remember, this won't be forever.